Welcome to episode 27 of Enter the Crucible. I am Mayhew, one of your co-hosts, and today I am joined by...
Clint.
Dr. Tran.
And Carter.
And before we get into another one of our thrilling matchup episodes, we have a...
Why did you say that sarcastically?
I didn't say that sarcastically.
I think
that
you did.
That was pure...
You're like thrilling at...
From the heart.
This is thrilling. What are you talking about?
From the heart.
Riveting.
I can't wait.
You can't wait?
This is like our second match episode
mm-hmm.
in this new format.
Yeah.
It's going to be sweet.
Yeah, I think the last one was okay. Last one was fine.
It was amazing. What are you talking about? It was thrilling and riveting. This guy.
Well, why are you messing with my mics? Like, you can't turn it off. You just can't turn off messing with the mixer off.
I'm sorry. Okay, if you're taking over, you do it. You got it. Sorry. I'm just so used to watching the bars and making sure it all looks level.
Maybe you can't multitask. So.
No, I can't. No, I'm probably going to mess this up. So.
All right, well, it's a good trial run.
I did record 12 podcasts without you.
You did, and they were awesome.
Let's talk about that.
Yes. So, if you guys are not aware, for the small segment of people who may listen to this podcast but haven't heard of anything that we've been doing, it's regarding to the World Team Championship. We are currently working on a fundraiser to send Mr. Clint here over to the World Team Championship.
That's Mr. Clint to you.
I said Mr. Clint.
Crap.
To stream the World Team Championship. Do you have anything you want to say on that, Clint, while you're on the podcast?
First, thanks a ton for the people that have donated or bought the podcast. We are on our way to our goal, and you guys are doing awesome. You know, we still have tons of, you know, the podcasts are still available to buy.
On Muse on Mini, which, by the way, in case you don't know, the podcast is Mayhew talked to 12 experts for each faction in War Machine and Hordes and got their opinion on the faction and the state of the game and just had really good conversations. So there are premium podcasts you can buy on Muse on Mini store.
Yeah, and they're not just about the factions. There's a bunch of meta info and...
Right, and
thoughts, and
you're getting like these people who have done well enough in tournaments where you when they're talking about like the state of the faction itself or the state of the game, you're getting a good feel of that. I will be providing weekly updates on the full information on the state of the fundraiser, where we're at, where we're going, what we're working on. You can find all that on the Muse on Mini's webpage. And you can go to the Muzon store. If you type in WTC in the search bar in the Muzon store, you can find the podcast. You can see our initial announcement video. And you can get more specific details on the website.
We also have a PayPal account you can donate directly to.
You can send any payments you want to enterthecrucible@gmail.com through PayPal. And that will also go directly towards this fund.
Yep. And from what I understand, we're doing great. The fundraiser's staying strong, but you know we're getting to the goal where we're going to have everything we need.
Yeah, and there's lots of exciting things. Like our graphics guy, Keith Alexander from Black Flag Gaming, is churning out a lot of awesome stuff to make the quality of it.
Yeah,
Keith, you're
the
awesome,
stuff he's
by the way.
Yeah,
all of the stuff that Mayhew showed me, you sent in, is incredible. So thanks a lot.
Yeah, it looks so sweet.
I'm really excited to see, like, once we have the opportunity to, like, really show off what this stream is going to look like, I'm really excited to what the final product's going to look like. It's going to look really cool.
Yeah, I think the best part about this is that there's a bunch of people from all over, not just the country, but the world, that are working together to make this thing happen. I mean, we're in constant contact with Norbert from WTC, with John Damaris from Muse on Minis, and all the commentators and stuff, and it's truly... It's a team effort, which is really cool.
Yeah,
I don't know what kind of hobbyists or whatever would do, you know, would work together this easily to get stuff done, and so that's cool to see.
Yep. And thanks to all the guys who, you know, volunteered their time to me to do the interviews as well.
Yeah, it's really awesome. I mean, it shows towards the community. Like, I didn't have anybody not want to help out with this. You know, everybody was like really right on board. You know, it was just a matter of scheduling the when to do podcasts and working everything out. So I haven't had I don't have any complaints with any of the people I've worked
with.
Yeah,
and while we're here, I sent a personal thank you out to the guys that were on Facebook that helped with the podcast. But Jason Watt and Mike Perrier, join the 21st century, get on Facebook so that I can thank you. but yes, thank you very much for helping us out.
So today we are going to move on to another match episode. This is, again, going to be probably a more regularly released type of podcast. And today we're going to do Dr. Tran here. He's brought a small tier list.
We're not doing Dr. Tran. We are featuring Dr. Tran.
We are featuring Dr. Tran?
Yeah.
Oh, that just changed the whole dynamic.
Well, then I'm out. That was in the memo. That's what I was here for.
Well, okay. Good.
He's not against it. You got a victory there.
Good.
Ian, you can put the condoms away.
Oh, God. All right, so
we're featuring Dr. Tran's list, End Times, versus my Xerxes 2. Dr. Tran, why don't you go into your list real quick?
First, as another troll player, End Times looks so freaking fun to play.
That's pretty sweet. It's a Crix army, which it appeals to me.
It's not a Crix army.
It is.
It's a troll army.
No, it's
this
a Crix army.
This is how a troll army should...
The troll army, then play Crix if that's what you want.
No. I want...
It's just Crix, you've eaten too much, you're now our medium bases. That's what it is.
But no, they're different because they're reach infantry with vengeance.
Yep.
Dang it.
And an additional die of damage.
Kind of sounds like
it. You can make a weapon mess.
You
dang
do
it.
Have the cav, so it's kind of not really.
But you don't have no quarter. Sucker.
I'll get some pirates in there.
Dang it.
Throw
you
some
can
no
have
quarter.
Pirates. Dang it. You're right. Better than me.
All right. You're better than me.
I'll
bring this back to the troll spotlight. I'll let you guys have your moment.
All right. Well, this list was sort of created out of a whim, kind of. I bought a random lot off of Craigslist, and it came with another unit of Fenblades and another unit of Long Riders. So I'm like, might as well just make End Times.
Right.
I think part of the inspiration was actually from Brandon Andrews and his random wacky list of getting models across the table and hitting hard. So with the no quarter on two units of Fenblades, it's fantastic, actually.
Brandon Andrews, my aggression guide, my aggression spirit coach.
Yeah. So having two units that allow you to move a little faster and then have the option of saying that you are immune to psych and cause terror for one round is very useful.
We are talking about Fenblades, right?
Yeah, Fenblades.
Okay, yeah.
Because of no quarter, it allows you to do all that for that one round, and Fenblades are extremely fast.
So normally Fenblades are FA2, but the attachment's FA1, right?
Correct.
And they're kind of not worthwhile without the attachment, kind of what I gather. I think they're a solid unit, but it's a no quarter.
No quarter is a big buff. They get set defense.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a pretty big difference, pumping the 12 to 14s. So having like what? So it's two units of Fenblades, and then what else is behind them?
I have one max unit of Long Riders, and a minimum unit of Long Riders, and
that's
Horthal.
Part of the tier is you get FA2 on Long Riders, okay, which are normally FA1.
I think it's like everybody's going like, where does the one tier that lets you have more than one unit of Long Riders? And
that's it.
This is the tier.
This is the tier that allows.
I think Borka's tier does too.
No, they're make them. Borka's tier makes them cheaper.
Oh, that's right.
And so with Madrak, part of his tier, you can take the Rune Bearer, which is to me crucial to allow you to put his one spell that I cast. Like the other two spells, like Warpath is.
Don't need
I've
it.
I've never used it. Killing Grounds, I think I've used once, and having the ability to cast Pathfinder is great, but I think I've only ever casted it once, because I've already jammed, by that point, I'm already jammed into to the enemy lines.
It's very corner case.
Right, it's very. Yeah,
even when I play my normal, like, Epic Madrak list, it's super corner case.
Yeah.
But every now and then, it'll just win you a game, like somebody has.
Yeah.
Right. If all you have left is Madrak left, then might as well go, and you need Pathfinder,
or
that's
they
how
an hospital ground or something like that.
Right. Yeah, which it might come up because you can't take fell callers. That's one of the biggest negatives to this tier. You can't have a fell caller.
No fell callers. No stones.
No stones. Correct.
But you're just going all infantry. So you want stones in the Long Raiders, I guess, but and maybe Madrak himself.
Actually, the Madrak for him to sacrifice bodies.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
That's the only reason I would ever do cheap bodies for him to sacrifice.
Cheap bodies and +2 armor.
Yeah. And then for this, I only have like two light war beast, a pyre troll and a slag troll. Mostly because the pyre troll for like the legion matchup, a lot of times the armies move so fast that magic gets left behind. So for the Ravagor shot, or like let's say fighting against Protectorate, I have something that, you know, allows magic to be safe.
Yeah, and then you don't. Yeah, like you said, Fenblades. There's not going to be Fenblades around magic,
right?
Because they're going to be up in the opponent's grill.
Yeah,
and also it gives you a damage buff if you want to toss out there occasionally too.
Exactly. That's the other thing. Give out damage buffs to like whoever needs it. If I see like a really good charge, and then with magic's feet, my whole army could just run and then just pop the feet.
Yep. Which is a strong tactic.
His feet is what now?
So his feat is every model in his control area makes an attack, makes a melee attack against everything in their melee range, every enemy model in their melee range, or they can make one ranged attack.
Okay, so it's like you either get amazing Thresher right now.
Yeah, everybody gets Thresher. Good Thresher.
So when you combine that with 20-something Fenblades with that all have reach that can jam in, then you pop the feet, then they're all just...
And Long Riders have reach as well.
My whole army has reach except my lights. And the drummers and Moses.
Nice. And the Long Riders can really just get in there, you know, charge to the front lines, use their impact attacks, full rush, and then pop the feet to
A lot of times what you do for, like, let's say the high infantry things, I would have my wall of Fenblades and then, you know, run a Tuffalo there and then slam the Tuffalo into the Fenblades and the Fenblades would ignore it.
Yeah, and I think something, I mean, we hinted at the one spell you cast. It's what makes this army work, because you're talking about like Tuffalos and Fenblades and stuff and Pyre and Selectors. None of that hits hard.
None of that hits hard. It's the Blood Fury, an additional die to damage rolls, but you get -2 defense, but it's an upkeep spell. So it affects the whole unit.
POW 12s and POW 14s from the... is not terrible.
Yeah, but you're not taking out an armor 22 model or something like that, you know.
Correct.
And even still, with blood fury, you're still going to struggle a bit.
Yeah.
But
well,
I mean,
I've seen like depending on your dice rolls, but I've seen like, you know, them like go up to Kato or having just completely like almost wreck it, and then after you pop the feet, it's gone.
Yeah, that's true, because it does work for the feet. Like you still get the blood fury.
Correct.
Damage.
Yep. Correct.
So like getting like 5 long riders on a colossal that charge in and. You know, you have your pyre troll, so maybe the pyre troll animus gets cast a couple of times, and then you pop feet. So it's like, well, here's going to be, you know, 5 impact attacks, 5 weapon master charges, and 5 weapon master follow up attacks that could do some serious work on a heavy or a caster or whatever, especially with Teflos.
Yeah, you could actually get 4 +2 animi, because you have a slag troll and a pyre troll.
Correct.
So you could get almost a full long rider unit. And buffed up. I mean, they'll take down pretty much anything.
Yeah, the army hits hard. I mean, the only
you have Hearthorn really there too, right?
Oh yeah, and I've also
okay.
Have
so he's like the last piece of the list.
The last piece, and you know, the line breaker is great. You know, allow you to the bull rush order with him to follow up and to attack afterwards. So that's great. I mean,
I think too, like the Tuflos are like this really cool assassination threat.
Yep.
You know, anytime you have knockdown presence on the board, your opposing caster has to be worried, especially if they're, you know, like, okay, maybe Terminus will camp through whatever you got to threat them, but, you know, a Denegro or, you know, a Sevi or something that's can be knocked down easily and is low armor.
I'm really curious to see if they'll ever put Bull Rush on anything else, the Bull Rush order, because that is...
It's so powerful.
It's unique, it's also really good.
So good.
So, but, you know... Crick stole mortality, so why not take Bull
still
Rush?
Better. Come on.
Denny 3 might
good.
Be on the release schedule. I mean, that's as this recording. She's right around the corner.
That's okay. No Crick's players will play her.
I like, too, you have like the minimum unit of Bull Riders. Because you set up potential for like maybe the Bull Riders charge in or Bull Rush in, do some stuff to the line, set up in good spots, and then the large unit can then bull rush and slam those bull riders over their caster into heavy war jacks or whatever through infantry units. Like a lot of people have like these stupid tricks like Chromac 2, like, oh, I'm a defense 18 heavy. You're like, well, I'm just going to slam my bull rush. One bull rider into all that bullshit.
And that's, you know, and that's what I've been doing too. And the tier 3 benefit is I'll put my long riders at the same time as advanced deploy. They don't get advanced deploy, but, you know, it's... It allows me to do something.
You put them on the right side of the
board. Yeah, so if I have the option, if I have 2 max units, you know, it doesn't matter. But if I have 1 min, 1 max, I see what, you know, what favors my matchup and put them there.
And don't the Fin Blades, do they AD or no?
No.
Okay, so that is kind of a crowded deployment zone.
Right, right. But it is a crowded deployment zone, but it moves really, really fast.
Okay, so it can like reposition around. So like, I'm interested to see how you impact that army when it comes across the table.
Yeah.
And Madrick's one of those casters I'm really glad I don't see as often as I do, because he just, his army murders everything. It's like you can't, it's really annoying because at certain times, like you just can't stop like half your army just dying, because even if I like Iron, I played against you, I had like Iron Fist Kaiazi. You're like, oh, I just got these 12s. Here are the 30,000 attacks I have to get that 12. Oh, I got it a couple times. Yeah.
Well, impact attacks were helping with that too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Because they're additional die.
Yeah. Line breaker.
Mm-hmm. So, line breaker and follow up is so good.
Yeah. Line breaker and the fact it's they're Matt Sevens.
Yeah, I think that might be one of the weaknesses of the list is you kind of cap out what Matt Nine on the charge with bull riders.
Only Matt Nine.
Matt Nine. Yeah. If they charge, it's Matt Nine and Horthal gets to Matt 10.
Okay, but that's like one. You know, that's one attack that you got the boosted with the bull rush order, but like. You can mitigate that with slamming your own stuff over them, you know, like Chaos Assassin, that kind of stuff. So
yeah, your Fen Blades do cap out at Mat 6, mm-hmm. So that's an issue. So yes, you got to use the slams.
That's an issue. Well, the leader is 7, but still, it's not like
I mean, you also have the Pyre Troll for spot removal. Madrek has his axe he can throw for kind of spot removal.
Mm-hmm. If this army could take a Fellcaller, it would be broken.
Oh, it'd be so good.
So broken.
But, yeah, I've been playing this list, and I've actually had a lot of success with it in the local tournaments, so
What have you found that you like to drop it into, and what have you found that you dislike dropping into?
I haven't figured out what I not like to drop this into. It's so much fun that I just haven't found... Maybe if I saw like a temporal barrier Haley or something.
Okay.
But I haven't
that wouldn't be fun.
But I haven't really seen that yet. Because
if you can't charge a Stormwall, you're not going to kill it.
Right, right.
Even with Webmaster attacks.
So I haven't seen it. I haven't played it against a colossal heavy Bart Galleon or something. I haven't seen that yet. So maybe it might skew. But currently right now, I haven't really been afraid of.
Do any games like stick out in your mind, like where you just kind of got wiped out, or the other way around, where you just ran over your opponent?
Since this army is so fast, a lot of the games are either bloodbaths where we're both killing each other really fast, because every troll player knows that, you know, your tough rolls always go one way or the other. You know, you either make a ton or you lose a ton, so that happens. But a lot of games where it's like there were a couple games where I kind of just moved so fast that they weren't expecting it. Like against a Lilith 2 and a Lilith 2 and a Krix caster. I want to say it might have been. It doesn't really matter. I swarmed their army so fast that they couldn't get to control points. They couldn't trample over my army to get to the zone.
Okay.
And I just dominated. And there was nothing they could do about it. They could not get to any of the flags.
And killing Madrek is not easy. Like, right. At all. Yeah,
killing Madrek is not easy.
Killing any Troll Warlock is not easy.
Yeah.
And
especially with
Calandra. Pretty easy to kill.
When she's standing in the back of her army, sitting on like...
Well, that's true.
3 or 4 Fury.
Yeah.
Doomy. I found out Doomy's pretty...
So...
Pretty hard to kill. Easy to kill. Sorry.
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So we're facing it off against my Xerxes 2. So, quick story. I kind of made the determination this month I'm going to try and stick to the current Scorn ADR casters, which is Makeda 1, Morgul 1, Rosheth, and Xerxes 2, with Zal 2 on the horizon.
He's going to be terrible.
Zal. Oh, you want to know about those fake spoilers
please
now?
Yeah, please tell us about
this. Okay. So I woke up this morning. And we recorded this.
What'd you have for breakfast?
I'm just kidding.
Wawa like he eats for every meal.
That was me being facetious and saying, get to the point.
Wawa's awesome. On Facebook, somebody said, this is from a reliable source. But, you know, didn't say anything. So it was like Zal 2. Fury 8, like a 12-18. He had Rebuke.
12-18?
12-18. He had Rebuke, Hellmouth, Full Tilt, and some other spell, and he could arc through Ancestor Guardians, and his he could gather souls within 10 inches of him, and then his feat was double he can double the amount of souls he has on him, and friendly models can use the souls on him to buy attacks.
And would he gather friendly souls?
Friendly souls, yeah.
And you bought that?
Well, he Zol 1 gathers friendly souls.
No. I'm just saying you bought that with that spell list.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, it's fine. Like, full tilt.
That's fine. Yeah, full tilt on a freaking Molly Karn is fine.
You can already savagery Molly Karn. You can already have him walking
13
inches.
Yeah, but he can't
inches.
Charge with that.
You can't. Can you charge with full tilt?
Yes.
Yeah. You
You can run with full tilt.
That's cool. It's fine. Fine. And then somebody posted on Twitter. It's like, yeah, I just kind of made this up, and it was posted on Scorn Facebook, and it was all a lie.
Oh,
so
geez.
There was like an hour of like, oh, Zol 2 is going to be awesome.
At least
it oh, well, that
came clean.
Yeah.
Good lord.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You don't get Fury 8.
This is from a reliable source. My butt.
Yeah. Well, it's good. Fury 8, Hellmouth, and Rebuke.
All right, all right. Let's talk about actual casters that exist, not in La La Land.
Okay, Xerxes 2. So I've been playing a lot of Xerxes 2, and Xerxes 2 has been kind of like the caster that I've been, like, there has to be something here. I got to keep trying to figure it out. And I've been like, looking at Xerxes 2 for almost a year now. I bought him at Gen Con last year.
So a year.
Yeah. So for this particular matchup, I'm doing Xerxes with a Gladiator, 3 Drakes, a Kreia, a Shaman, Molot Karn, 2 Reptile Hounds, 2 Willbreakers, an Exodal Soul Ward, a Gobber Tinker, and 2 minimum pain giver units. So what I really like with Xerxes is lots of drakes, thanks to our good friend Chris Cuevas for coming up with the multi-drake option. But I found like having 3 or 4 drakes is kind of cool with him because...
Don't even...
What?
You just like having 3 because you only own 3.
Well, I said 3 or 4. I intend to buy the 4th.
Sure.
I have a 4th order. I've been had the 4th order for like 2 weeks now, and that's not come in.
So who do we blame for that?
No,
just kidding. Stop.
We love
our local gaming store.
We do. It's a fantastic gaming store.
They have AC that works. That's a big deal.
That is a big deal.
But like I've been trying with like double sentinels. The bugs aren't out yet, but double sentinels is kind of cool with them. It's like a really massive shooting list for the legions and the Chromac 2s and the circles and stuff. Just being able to trivially remove beasts from the table was kind of fun.
Didn't I play you with that?
Yeah, we did that versus Runes of War.
Okay, that's right.
I accidentally threw one of my beasts away because I'm like, oh, paralyzed Maul can't get me. And Maul's like, oh, cool, I'll just walk 8 inches and kill you anyway.
Yeah, oh, that's right. I can walk. I forgot about that.
I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a thing.
What's your bonded beast?
This game is going to be the Gladiator.
Okay.
For the rush.
Okay. There you have a Shaman, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so his animus is that he can cast somebody else's animus?
He can cast somebody else's animus within his command range. That's not his animus. His animus is remove enemy upkeep spells.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Never mind.
Yeah.
I was wondering if that was his animus. That's a special ability he has.
That's a special ability he has, yeah. So
that would be sweet if you could just bond that.
And then just cast whatever
just
I
cast
want.
Just cast whatever you want.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
That'd be so dumb.
Why the Reptile Hounds?
The Reptile Hounds are... 2 of them are 4 points for spot removal, and 4 points is easily slide out for the 4th Drake that's going to be coming. But it's not necessarily bad because I like Reptile Hounds for like that. I'm just going to walk up and kill that one solo and it's dead. I also like the fact that Xerxes can take down himself and suddenly he's ignoring tough and removing from play.
I promise he was not making that decision when he had trolls across the table.
No, it was just figuring out what I was going to do with. The gap.
I'm lying. The trolls were across the table, and he said, "What should I have? How about takedown?"
I mean, you did give him a ton of options that he ignored.
I did. I gave him
tons of options.
Tyrant, redeem. What else is 5 points? So like Efrid Scouts and 1 Croak Hunter. I gave him all
tons
the best. Minimum unit of Croak Raiders, and yet you picked anti-troll tech. I mean,
yeah. I mean, it's good. So I also and with this very particular variation, I like having the drakes for like the infantry removal. I mean, I think Xerxes is fun as a beast heavy caster. You might not necessarily need to be a beast heavy caster, but instead of the
you have
two,
mobility,
yeah, instead
and
of
pain givers,
yeah, in Scorn it works out.
Yeah,
so like, do I take Karn or Tiberian in this particular version of the list? Is also another thing.
By the way, I'm in on Doomy 3 if he has mobility.
Okay.
I'm not if any Shut other up. Spell.
Don't you don't get to complain about a caster. I don't want another Doomy. It's just another troll.
I don't want another Doomy 3 though. Another Doomy. That's just
he gets like a special soothing song where he can just cast it multiple times. And
you know what, Clint? You should. You're Doomy is like a crotchety, grumpy man. You're being crotchety and grumpy about Doomy 3. So you guys are just made for each other. For just each welcome other. Him. Right. Welcome into the fold.
Doomshaper is going to be an option.
You can complain about you. You can complain about him. He's like, you're not playing me right, you fucking bastard. And you're like, you're not what I wanted anyway.
I want dead Madrak. With
Ghost Madrak.
With Ghost Madrak. I want Jedi Madrak. Dead Jedi Madrak.
Whatever.
So how do we feel about this matchup?
Well, I'm not done interviewing you about Xerxes too, asshole. Okay.
So what do you want to talk about?
I had some questions for Dr. Tran. I have now some questions for you.
Now someone's getting crotchety.
Yeah. Right? Well, you got me in the
I
spirit.
Got you.
Yeah. It went from Doomy
3
to
is
you,
upon you.
From you to me.
Mobility.
Mobility. So Xerxes why do you... I would think you'd want to take, like, because it's just all beasts, essentially, and then the pain givers behind that, and then the tinkerer, right?
Right, the tinkerer so you can prepare Xerxes.
All,
of course.
All beasts in support.
Xerxes is, what, 4 war beast points?
I don't
3,
think it's that low.
4, 5? Whatever it is, it's -1 because you take a tinkerer.
5,
because
yeah.
When you can heal your caster d6 every turn when he's a massive large base, it's usually a good idea. But
agreed.
Why no infantry units with him? Like a screening unit, annihilator, or something, just to kind of like protect the front line of beasts, get in the way.
Honestly, every time I try infantry with him, I'm not particularly excited about it. He doesn't do anything to help protect him going up. I mean, there's you could bond a Kreia and like walk up and just use the fact that he's on a large base to provide that Kreia buff for an infantry unit.
Mm.
But every time I've done like multiple combined arms or different combined things with him, and it's just the thing that felt the most effective to me is just having a whole bunch of Drakes just running around spraying stuff.
Also, it's hordes, which means you're supposed to have lots of beasts running around, and it just feels right.
Well, it's
we're
I mean,
troll players.
And you could like put a unit of annihilators, but the unit of annihilators will probably just die on the approach.
Yeah.
Or a unit of swordsmen will probably just die on the approach. I've done like double Kel'Tari with him, and they are okay. And
I mean, I guess the mobility because you have such threat and with the you know like the speed buff and like the 8-inch sprays and they're like magical and pow 14 they kill everything, especially under that feat. Like yeah, I guess you can out threat most things. I'm just like it just boggles my mind when people just put like a full beast army on the table that's not like Legion that can dance in and out, and I'm like man, what keeps them from just getting bogged down in like an infantry swarm or something? I guess you keep the Drakes back and just spray everything out.
Storm Troll Animus, that's what stops it from getting bogged down.
Okay.
Well, if I could take a Storm Troll on this list, I would probably just spam Storm Trolls in this army.
Yeah. Mobility.
Mobility.
Give me 3 for mobility.
Well, the thing is, like, with him, like, Karn can do a big scalpeling thing because under mobility, when he Fate Walkers, he moves 8 inches.
Sure.
So, he like, Karn can come in.
I feel like your game's almost more assassination-based than anything.
Yeah. And Karn basically does a lot of work all the time, but the downside to a Karn list is obviously keeping him alive long enough to.
Do you have Karn in this?
Karn Gladiator. Karn. Yeah. And also, I'm bonding with the Gladiator this time instead of the Kreia, because what I've noticed with Xerxes is usually like cast the Kreia Animus for free, and there's usually only like 1 or 2
and then
things
nobody
around.
Shoots out.
Well, and there's also only 1 or 2 things around him, so the Kreia can just walk 8 inches and cast the Kreia Animus and. If I'm clipping that 2 or 3 inches next to the Kreia with Xerxes, he's not dying anyway.
Sure.
And I can protect the 1 or 2 things that are going to be around there regardless. I'd rather just be like, okay, I can, in 1 turn reliably with my only 5 Fury, drop mobility, ignite, and rush on a beast at the same time.
Do you find Xerxes dies a lot? He just seems like he's got a good... He's what, a 13, 18?
He's a 13, 19.
13, 19? So he's got like a decent armor stat.
Yeah.
Fury, but.
I feel like you have to play around with that a little bit. But I don't think he like dies any more than any other caster of his like type. He's kind of a frontline, high armor warlock with transfers.
Sure.
Being on a battle engine does have the benefits of he can't be knocked down, he can't be made stationary, and all that type of stuff. But I mean, if a heavy gets to Xerxes, he dies, and he has a lot wider berth to actually have a heavy get to him.
Yeah.
So it's just trying to manage those threat ranges. The thing is, like, he doesn't necessarily need to be... His combat stats are not good enough to where he wants to constantly be charging. Like that's the one thing, like the difference between him and Prime Xerxes. Prime Xerxes doesn't mind just like charging in, combo smiting, like dancing around and like overtaking a few things, just wrecking things with his feet up. Like P Xerxes like can't reliably kill a heavy by himself. Or Epic Xerxes cannot reliably kill a heavy by himself. He just doesn't hit hard enough. If he's going in for the kill, he'll probably have to ignite himself so he loses two fury when he does it. So it's kind of like he's better off, at least as far as I've been playing him, just kind of like clearing off lines maybe. You know, with Fatewalker, he can actually get in, kill a couple of things, and then just get out, and then let his army do the rest of his work for him. And then when it gets to the late game, I have a potentially speed 9.
Does he still count as Cav?
Yeah, he's a Cav caster, so he can ride by attack and all that stuff too.
So you've got a bunch of Xerxes 2's games in, I mean, with a bunch of different builds. What do you want to drop them into?
This particular build, or this particular type of list, I'm dealing with the Bradaguses and the Chromac 2's and all that type of stuff of the world. Because the deny line of sight, I can get a heavy in there and just wreck something type builds.
Okay.
Because like against Chromac 2, Chromac 2 is doing like the... Oh, you have a really hard time hitting me. I'm like, okay, my Kraya just walks 8 inches, shoots one of your beasts, it becomes base defense 7, which then goes back to 11. I pop feet, and Karn just murders it. Like, it just scalpels it out. And I have a much higher threat range than you do because I'm charging 13 inches with reach and sidestep.
Yeah, that
would do it. If you want to make that the anti-cloud and forest wall, wouldn't you want... Do you have 2 Extolar Soul Wards?
In this list, I only have 1. I would have 2 if I have the shooty version. And the Drakes, you can, outside of Bradicus, the Drakes, you can spray your own models and then just get around the clouds that way.
That's true.
Or the Drakes are speed 8, so they can just walk into the clouds half the time and just spray anyway.
That'd be at minus 2, and they're only rat 5.
Just a boost. And
the feet, too.
And they also...
Their feet.
Well, it's with the Druid clouds, Druids have to actually be in the clouds. They can't get behind the clouds. So you just walk up, you get an angle where you're spraying the druid outside of the cloud, outside of the 4 inches. Like, okay, here's a boost to power 14 on something. I mean, it's not great because I don't think I it's not a tier list where I can put like 8 drakes on the table and have Molokar and stuff like that. But it's at least options. And Xerxes' feat really helps in a lot of situations, like elemental evolutionaries with Starcross. I'm like, well, now I'm adding my own dice to it to try and even it out. And I'm also charging really far and killing shit. And
yeah.
So that's like my hope with Xerxes.
Molokarn gets corroded.
Oh, yeah.
And then the countdown begins.
20 turns later.
20 turns later, he's dead. Gone.
He comes in at with Ignite, comes in at power 17 Weapon Master.
Should
kill something. It's not enough.
Not enough.
Nope.
Not enough.
He's going to hit a Croak Raider that's been tufted, get that corrosion on him.
And just die.
And just wither.
Well, it's Karn, so I'm like, I'll just probably put him on the table, and then they're like, killed him. I'm like, how? I don't know what happened.
People unleash the nukes on Molokarn when they can to get that guy out.
He draws so much power. And that's why it's like...
Well, you have to, because he can just randomly kill your caster at any point in the game.
And that's like the big decision here, usually in this particular version of the list, is between Karn and Tiberian. Tiberian doesn't randomly die from guns. Like, at all. And you can't really disrupt him because he himself can't be knocked down or made stationary or anything like that.
But he's not as big of an offensive threat as Molokarn.
No, you lose 2 inches of threat. But he hits really hard. He hits at a 22.
Fair enough.
With Ignite?
With Ignite, yeah.
All right, so what is your thought on the matchup there, Dr. Tran, after hearing all the scary Xerxes 2 tech that he just spilt?
The Reptile Hounds, got to go.
Reptile Hounds. Public enemy number one.
Public enemy number one.
Remember,
those are
just...
That's fine.
That just Animus is just self.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's just the Reptile Hounds and Xerxes if he casts it.
So just
and it's two, right?
It's two. Two
it's
of them.
Two. Still so that's take two of down. His fury.
Wow.
It's not terrible.
Yeah.
It's not that bad for you.
So just have like a Reptile Hound like sitting next to Molokarn. So Dr. Tran is like, oh, got to kill it. Got to kill it. Charge that thing.
But yeah, I've seen Molokarn do some work before. I've seen him fail a lot of times too.
If you
yeah.
played against Scorn, you've probably seen Molokarn do work before.
Yeah, I've seen him do work. Luckily, this army can't be trampled on, so it's not that easy to get to Madrek, but, you know, it's possible. It's always possible.
Honestly, I feel like I'm going to have a hard time in this matchup, like for reals, because, well, everything he has hits hard.
No, I'm not laughing at it.
Yeah, we weren't laughing at
I was laughing at when you said for reals.
Yeah,
For reals.
For reals, yo.
Oh, God.
Just stop.
That was as painful in real life as it was for you listening to it right now. I just want you all to know that.
Fair enough.
Actually hurt more.
You have speed and hitting power. Like, I have speed and hitting power, but you also have, but I think, like, a unit of Fenblades just walk up and go, there's a Drake dead and there's a Drake dead. Okay, cool. That's, and then I have really no way to reliably kill.
And Fenblades. If you had, like, a unit of Annihilators to screen them, that wouldn't happen.
Yeah, but then the Annihilators will run in and not kill his stuff, and then they'll just die. And then the
what do you mean they won't kill this stuff? Annihilators are awesome. They kill everything.
Yeah, they kill Fenblades dead.
And they have tough.
Yeah. Well, you have tough.
You have tough, but it is what it is.
They kill.
It's a decent trade, but the thing is like, so Annihilators stop the Fenblades from charging your stuff. There's like the Fenblade Annihilator scrum in the middle where everybody's like, this sucks. You have a feat, and I'm berserk and tough, and goddammit. And then the Drakes come and spray them. That's the perfect world.
It is. I just take like an all shooting. Or if I was like tailoring Xerxes to this matchup, I'll just take all guns. And he's like, okay, cool.
Well, why didn't you?
Bob Feet. And I don't. I'm not list tailoring.
Hey, this is how you answer. Well, why don't you just play the game?
Yeah.
But then I'd have to play Scorn, and that's icky.
Yeah.
That's icky. Well, whatever. You enjoyed Fist of Alok.
What's that?
You enjoyed
Fist of Alok. I did enjoy Fist of Alok.
He just likes the name, time. Though.
It was like, the power.
The fisting.
The fisting.
He just likes fists.
Mm. Yes. Yes.
I was talking about your MMA training, not your nighttime activities.
You know what? One just flows right into the other.
Hopefully there's a shower in between.
It happens in the shower.
That's where you're the cleanest.
Well, before we get this matchup on, congrats to Mike, who is a member of this podcast and then had a baby and built a house.
And then came back and was on this podcast. If you listen to our podcast,
oh, that's right, he was here last week.
Last
sorry,
match episode.
Who is was and is now back on this podcast?
Yes,
he won our local tournament yesterday in Armada. Or wait, this is released on Wednesday, so
who cares?
Four days ago.
Who cares about the illusion? Hey, everybody, podcasts are recorded before they're dropped.
So the guy comes back from basically not playing. In like 6 months,
yeah,
something like that, and then wins a tournament and goes through a pretty solid stable of people.
We had all those games streamed on the Twitch, our Twitch stream, and they'll
not all of his games, particularly
not all of his games, but the finals, his final versus Brandon Andrews is on there.
It was what Evags versus Three Haley was the finals.
No, Striker Three, and that was an intense game.
Really,
yeah. I watched the end of it. It came down to basically Thags versus Striker.
And Brandon's a solid player, too. I mean, that's
Dynamo was the left. Scythian was just that. That was pretty much.
Yeah, the last three turns was basically Thags and a Scythian versus Dynamo and Striker 3. Just like positioning between the flags.
By the time this podcast is released, all those videos will probably, from that tournament, will probably be on our YouTube page, likely.
Perfect.
That was a good tournament. I got what I wanted out of it. I got to play EE with my Peace Guard anti-EE list and see it in action. And then
wasn't against me, thank God.
Yeah, and then I got to see Three Haley. Brandon Andrews dropped Three Haley on me and assassinated my ass after I Bile Thrall purged a quarter of his army dead.
And that is on tape.
Yeah, that one sucked. I was like, oh, you do have Ghostly. That's right. Yeah. This is the first time I've ever played against you. This sucks.
It's a lesson of Haley 3. Like, does Haley 3 have a spell for this situation? And the answer is yes.
Okay.
The only problem with that tournament was they were having the Magic release event, yeah. And there was probably, you know, 50 people.
For those
that
do not live
in...
For those who do not live in Florida or are similar climates, there is a potential for
swamp
ass.
It was about
all time swamp ass.
It was about 101 degrees outside, and we went outside to get relief from the heat that was inside.
Yes. Also, we should probably mention we bid fond farewell to in the Crucible member Adam Stewart, recently moved to California.
Yep.
Now he's a hippie.
To San Fran.
Is it San Diego? Or
oh, no, San Diego. Yeah. That's right.
San Diego.
San Diego. To the whale's vagina.
So
to San Francisco.
Berkeley. Where's Berkeley?
She's going to Berkeley. So wherever Berkeley's at.
I think that's closest.
Yeah, we don't know California.
It's one of the sands.
It's one of the sands.
Whatever. We're sands, Adam Stewart, and now we're sad.
I made the joke that he's now our California correspondent.
Yes.
Except they have things to do, like, you know, surfing and.
We can do that here.
Not good. There's not good surfing.
Yeah, there's decent surfing.
So you have, like, what is it? Daytona
Beach? When was the last time you went to the beach?
Don't go to Daytona Beach.
Okay. Oh, well.
I go to the beach more than you do, I bet.
There's meth on Daytona Beach.
Oh, that's true.
You get dragged to the beach more than I do, is what it is.
That's true. That is absolutely true.
I, like, actually want to go.
My wife loves the beach. My wife loves them beaches.
All right, so at this point, we are going to cut and play the game. We will have the game online when we release this video. So if you want to watch the game and see what actually happened, you know, go right ahead. If you don't, if you wait all of a couple minutes, then you will hear our talking about what happened during the game.
It won't be minutes. It'll be, like, immediate.
It'll be immediate.
So we had a relatively quick game between the Trollbloods and the Escorn. Mm-hmm.
I think that was a pro tip on my part to eat Madrak's feet to my face so I don't lose most of my army.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So just quick notes of the game.
Yeah.
It looks like the Trollbloods got the assassination victory.
Yep.
After a lot of failed sevens when I probably should have died a turn earlier.
Yep. Yep. It was one failed assassination attempt followed by another followed by a successful one.
Yeah.
Which really shows why fell callers would be freaking ridiculous in that tier.
Troy, you're the victor. Why don't you give a quick recap of what happened in the game?
Basically, with this army, I just kind of bum rushed forward.
You won. First off, we're playing outflank, and you won the role to go first.
Right. Yep. So, having the option to go first, I mean, the ability to go first, I was going to take it. And because of that, he was back there, and after turn one, or almost like turn two, I could have easily, like, bullied him out of the zone. But I didn't.
Well, I felt like going second really, really sucks in this particular matchup.
Yeah, because Troy's army is flying. He's almost on the back ends of the zone on his first turn. Yeah, second turn.
But. Well, like, on my first turn, I'm like, if I have any sort of non-cautious advance, I get run into and feed it on, and all my stuff dies.
So Troy runs forward on turn one. You kind of maybe take about an advance out of your deployment zone. You can't really run because then you're in charge range of everything. And then Troy spreads his whole army out in both zones. So he has, you know, the Bull Riders in one zone, other unit of Bull Riders in others, and then the Fin Blades are just kind of carpeting both zones, and your army is just kind of sitting right at the other end of this. So at this point, your turn comes around. You feat, and you do quite a bit of damage. I mean, you picked up about six or seven Fin Blades, you know, like two Tuffalos. Molik Karn got in there, Fate Walkered back after killing about four or five models. Your sprays are pretty decent. Xerxes himself situated him right in the middle between the two zones. What I think was a huge mistake on your part is you didn't put anything in front of Xerxes. He's just literally ass out the wind in front of Troy's army.
Yeah, I should have. Looking back at it, I should have just sacrificed Karn.
Yeah.
Just thrown Karn into the middle of all this stuff. And it's like, okay, you have to deal with this before you come after Xerxes.
Why not just not move Xerxes up that far?
Because I was so jammed forward, I wanted to use Xerxes to clear off all the stuff in front of him and then have my army go past him.
What's his speed?
7.
How much did you have to move up?
Not much. I could have just ride by attacked.
That's what I'm thinking.
So maybe a ride by attack would have been better there. I mean,
I was a little surprised that you didn't sacrifice Molik Karn because he was the only thing that was blocking me from the rest of your army.
I felt like the Gladiator could have probably been positioned in front of Xerxes. Just any sort of thing to, like, stop him getting his bases in there would have been good.
I think I was just so worried about losing my army, I wasn't thinking about my caster.
Okay.
Yeah, so
you're like, what? This guy's big. He's going to make it. It's like armor 19, whatever. It's
to
ridiculous.
Be fair, I did.
That's true.
I shouldn't have, but I did.
So your turn rolls back around, and then you get Fin Blades go, like, you get like two charges on there. I think you hit one, did some damage. Another unit of Fin Blades just runs to engage Xerxes, getting ready for the feat.
I was like getting some really poor damage rolls. So
yeah, well, your hit rolls were
one or the other.
Was yeah, not good. Yeah, yeah. Your hit rolls weren't fantastic because you need sevens. We actually saw the weakness of your list. I think mm-hmm. his whole army's defense 13, so you need like sevens to hit everything pretty much.
Right.
And you just weren't connecting.
Like mostly like this army doesn't really deal with casters too much. I mean, I don't really go for the assassination all too much. Mm. The fact that I did is actually kind of rare.
Well, he put a big purple rhino in the middle of your army.
Right, right.
Yeah, and it was actually kind of funny because you weren't really thinking about it.
No, I was actually thinking about clearing out that right zone. But then I just looked at him like, how many transfers do you have?
I only have one. That's yeah. that's the downside of Xerxes is that...
He's so focus hungry.
He's fury hungry, and he doesn't have like any... Just his base stats is basically the only thing that keeps him alive, plus the Kree Animus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Madrak threw his Wrath Rock at him, didn't get the crit, did both. Some good damage to him, decent damage.
The other thing you have to play around with his positioning is that everything's in my control area during the course of my turn, so I can force however I want to. The downside is now when it comes back to me, in order to pull fury, I have to be within 10 inches of most of my stuff I want to pull from. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's always, like, the hard part on positioning on his army. Like, you want to do, like, oh, I want to get out there, and then...
He's a very odd caster in that sense.
Yeah.
So you fail to kill him. You have like five or six fin blades around him, and then like two, you know, Horthol. You dismounted Horthol, but he was able to get in there and charge anyway. Yeah. And then like a long rider. They all feet. They don't kill Xerxes. They leave Xerxes on three with no fury, and he's corroded on fire.
Yeah.
And then the four. Corrosion or four.
But
corrosion.
Still.
So the corrosion happens, fire doesn't kill him, and then you come back. What was your thoughts on that turn? Because now you have Xerxes just completely surrounded by troll bloods.
I had two potential assassination things I was playing around with. First one was clearing up the lane for Karn to walk over and sidestep to Madrak to mm-hmm. punch him. The other one I was looking at two, which it was three because I missed that one fury on that one Kriya. Like the gladiator walked up, two hand through one Teflo into the other. I just freed up both drakes, and the drakes would walk up and put two sprays into him as well.
Sure.
Yeah.
So,
one of them fit.
One of them filled their frenzy. Yeah. And the other thing was because I wasn't killing things fast enough because it's trolls.
Yeah, Troy was making a decent amount of trap checks throughout the game.
I wasn't killing things fast enough, so the Kriya that was going to spray Madrak ended up spraying like some models that weren't. I wanted to kill that one. Tuffalo in the way, or at least tough him, so I had an easier path around.
Sure.
And if I killed him in the way, I had one more attack to swing on Madrak.
So essentially, you got Molly Karn to Madrak. He had used his first initial to sidestep into him. Mm-hmm. So now you have Molly Karn. He's what, Fury 4?
Fury 4, yeah.
So Fury 4 and another initial, and you need sevens to hit, right? Your defense 14. And I think you connected one out of five. Two out of five.
Yes. Which is not enough to kill. I needed to connect at least three.
Three, more likely four.
Yeah. If it was like, if I had like two fury left and I hit on that one, I would probably just boost the damage and hope that he failed the stuff.
That's true.
Yeah.
So yeah, slightly below average.
But I had a dude in the way to sacrifice, and then I still had one transfer, so.
Yeah. So
you need to connect with about two on average. So two out of five, that's not terrible odds. And then he's got a tough roll. So on average, you're gonna hit two to three.
Well, the thing was like, Karn can boost after the fact, so I was just rolling super shitty on my actual hit rolls, whereas like if I boost after the fact, I still need a four, so it doesn't make any sense to do so.
Sure.
If I rolled a six or if I rolled a five, I would just boost it and then see if I hit. I mean, I still need to hit a couple more times, but...
So that was a little rough to watch. Like, oh, sevens, no, Karn's just failing miserably. And then that was it. Like, the turn flipped back over to Troy. You only maybe cleared out a third of the stuff that was in Xerxes' face, so he just had to essentially activate it and kill you.
Yeah, Xerxes' Fury. I mean, I did get lucky on one thing where the boosted Stranglehold just murdered one of the cav in the
way.
I
was like, what are you doing? Like, I figured you're trying to clear a path for Karn or something. But.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that was the reason. It was like boosted into him. I was hoping the ancillary attack would just kill the other cav right straight out and then get around with Karn.
All right, so what are your general thoughts on the matchup?
I don't think I would drop this into this particular style of trolls.
Yeah.
Because all my force is in concentrated elements, and it's really easy for Troy's list is crazy fast, especially if he goes first, but he also hits hard. I mean, if a Drake is standing in a zone and gets charged by a Blood Fury Fenblaze and then gets feeded on, it just dies. It's just not going to make it. I mean, what? Vengeance and two charges killed one of the Drakes on the
side?
Two
Vengeance hits and I think one charge.
Yeah. And just die. So I'm like, Karn will just probably die because he's only armor 18. So I was just playing around with, I'm under pressure from like the get-go. And I was going second. But, and I had to like cautiously advance, position myself in a situation where he couldn't necessarily charge me and do like the, if he wants to run and feed, that's fine at that point. It's one less attack, I was figuring. But if he just runs right at me, he might not be enough to engage me, and I could just clear him off and then hope to get something later.
You did a fair bit of damage. I think positionally, you might have just left yourself a little weak, particularly with Zerk, because he's just kind of standing there with his tush in the wind.
And I could have been like a little more cautious with Xerxes, but I don't think that because there's so many threats that Madrak provides, I don't think I would ever want to drop this particular style of Xerxes into him.
That's fair.
Or any particular type of style of Xerxes, unless I was just dude spamming or something like that.
Do like 9 Drakes or whatever.
Yeah. Even the 9 Drakes, you're like really hoping to get a lot of work out of those 9 Drakes. Like, because all the stuff has reach, so I'm playing around with, I can't walk up to almost half-inch melee range of these guys and spray past them. I have to be like, okay, I have to stay outside of reach range of that guy and try and position where I'm getting maybe clipping 3.
Yeah.
So all that is a thing.
What do you think, Trey?
I still really love this list. It's fun, it's fast, and it's, people don't really expect it. They're so used to seeing the meat mountains or the
runes
or EE, there, which is slow armies, you know. Even some of like the Grim armies are kind of, they're not really in your face fast. They're kind of just get to the middle and start shooting and fall back. So I enjoy this list. It's fun. And people just don't see it come. A lot of times people just don't, if they haven't played against me before, they're not used to seeing how fast I can contest the zone.
Mm-hmm.
and bully myself.
So you really need to, against end times, make sure you get in the zones quickly and make sure you have something that can stay in the zone against an army of weapon masters.
Right. Like I remember playing a Krix guy who had a, they're colossal and,
The Kraken.
He was so used to trampling over to get to the zone. He couldn't do that.
Uh-huh.
There was fen blades in the way and he just couldn't take the hit.
Yeah, it's like Madrak is really frustrating to play against a lot of times because like I just spread this whole army across the table where every single thing in that army threatens your stuff. Like, and then you go, okay, you need to dig me out and you probably can't do enough damage to get aggressive gains before I have a good feature.
I could imagine that it's a pretty decent Scorn drop just in general. Because Scorn usually, you know, they're not going to have too many, you're not going to have an Angelius that you need to try and hit, you know. You have pretty low defense things. More often. I mean, 13, man, you were still struggling with the 13s. That is like the hardest part of the list. The majority of your list is Mat 6.
I mean, granted, like none of my cav actually got a line breaker charge, so.
That's true. Well, the unpacking of your army was interesting too, because it's like you fill the deployment zone literally from wall to wall, because you spread the spread both fin blade units out and then the tough lows on the sides, and it's like it's really hard to, I guess it's kind of another weakness, you can kind of make the army come at you in waves. It's really hard to get it all in at once.
Right. Well, that's what his particular army. I know that he does have the sprays. So I did want the waves, and so the first initial, sure, he'll kill off like my first line of guys, but then at least the back line can still charge in, and you know, if they hit, they do work.
Yeah, for sure.
And I wasn't like, even after I did like a pretty decent amount of damage that turn, I'm still like, I'm not comfortable with where I'm at because there's way too many Tuflos alive still.
Yeah, and then my back wave of Fenblades are still alive.
I couldn't dig out the back Tuflos. Mm-hmm. And I just put as much pressure on your fin blades as possible. But even then, it's just like, every time I play against, like end time specifically, but any sort of Madrak list, I'm like, I don't feel like I can kill things fast enough to really, like, have my opponent go, oh, I'm on the back foot now. Like, that just doesn't happen. Because you can be aggressive with your caster, and you're like, oh, I'm Madrak. I have a couple of transfers and got a dude next to me. I'm good.
Yeah.
I suggest you apply Bile Thralls to the face liberally.
Not every faction has those.
That's just the ones that matter.
Just the ones that matter. But, Troy, you would drop this against Krix.
Yeah, actually. I mean, if I get a good, a sweet, you know, slam in, I'll just park a Tufflo there and just slam that.
You just run the Tufflos into Gaspian feet and kill them. That's easy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can do that too.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy stuff.
That'll be good. Yes. Well, any other thoughts on this particular game, this particular list's army styles?
I thought it was, like, interesting. It was kind of, it's like a grindy, we're punching each other's casters at the end, but...
It's like beast versus dudes.
I think I was able to demonstrate why I love Drakes with Xerxes, though.
Oh, yeah, those things are brutal.
Yeah, they're just all over the place, and the Phantom die and stuff, so...
Yeah, the Drakes did work. Karn did work. Karn always does work. But, all right, that's all we got. This has been Intro to the Crucible. See y'all later.